You know, your temple is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You should take care of your temple. You know, I weigh every night. Every night when I take my clothes off and I get ready to take a shower, I step on the scales to see what I weigh. And if I weigh a little more, a half a pound or a pound more than I did tomorrow, I try to eat less or I try to exercise more. Because when I step on the scales the next day, I want to be the right size. I don't want to step on the scales and say, well, I hadn't weighed in a month. So I step on the scales and say, well, I couldn't button my britches today. So, well, I'm only 5 pounds overweight. No big deal. So next month I wait and I'm 10 pounds over and then 20 pounds over. And then one day when I get to be 300 pounds, I said, well, I maybe ought to do something about this. Hey, I think that's a way too long, don't you? It's so unfortunate that so many people will do this. They will feast and drink and get grossly overweight. You need to take care of your temple. And I've come to realize a long time ago, there's only one man or one person that can control the bending of my elbow. You know who that is? Me. That's right. I'm the only one that can do that. You know, I can just put in all I want to or as little as I want to. But I can do it because recently I have watched some different shows on Fox where they've got these programs where these people that were huge. Some of you may have seen those. I don't know where they are. I just happened to turn on at a certain time. But there was a program on there. One man had lost 225 pounds. Lost 225 pounds. I ain't never weighed 225 pounds. Praise the Lord. You know, that I can't even imagine, I weigh about 180. I can't imagine taking another 180-pound man and putting him on my shoulders, me carrying him around all day long. And then I can't imagine taking that 180-pound man and taking little John David and putting him on top of him and me carry that around all day long. I can't even fathom that. You know, so I think, wow, no wonder these people are tired and wore out and can't do anything. Wow. It says, feasting and drunkenness, and they're wild parties. You know, people do these kind of things. And then they're terrible worship of idols. I mean, what do? We worship everything except God. You know, everything. I mean, we put our cars, our dress, our suits, you know, our everything before God. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. I can remember when I was a young boy in high school. You know, the boys would go down to San Saba, about 20 miles away, and they could buy beer down there. You couldn't even buy beer in Goldthwaite at that time, where I was raised up. So they'd go get some beer. Of course, you could buy cigarettes anywhere. So somebody would buy a pack of cigarettes, and they'd go out and say, Thurman, you want a cigarette? I'd say, absolutely not. You know, well, have a beer with us. I'd say, absolutely not. Oh, you chicken, you. They started slandering me and making fun of me. I said, no problem. I don't want it. I ain't smoking that junk, and I ain't drinking that beer. You know, I just don't like it. I smell that stuff, and I said, good grief, as mad as that smells, I can't think about putting it in my body. And so, no, I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, I didn't do none of those things. The rest of them did. And now then I look back at life, and many of those young men that smoke and drink, they're already gone. They ain't here no more. But I'm still here and in good health, praise God. Now then, do you want to live a long, healthy life? Well, God says, take care of your temple. And that doesn't include drinking and smoking. I mean, you know, I really think it takes a real, I hate to call you what God called you, but God called you stupid, you know, in His Word. I hate to call you that, but a man that will take a package of cigarettes and look on in and it says, smoking causes cancer. And you smoke that? I can't believe it. And you're a Christian? I can't believe you can do that. Why do you do that? Have you ever stopped to think, why do you pay to cause cancer in your physical body when God put a sign on the package that says, cancer, smoking causes cancer? And then, of course, you know, you have to pay $4 or $5 a pack for those things, too. You know, I don't care if the guys try to slander me. I could care less what anybody else says. I'm going to be a living example of Jesus in my life, aren't you? So they say, why don't you smoke? Say, I don't like it. My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Why don't you have a beer with us? No, my body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. I ain't drinking. I ain't drinking and I ain't smoking. I'm going to take care of this body that God gave me because I plan for it to live a long time. And I want it to do what I want it to do. And I want it to be able to still run and play when I'm 80 or 90 years old instead of when I die when I'm 50 years old. So that's just the way it is. But I'm through with all this stuff. And of course, praise God, I never did get into that stuff, but I'm grateful. It's just like I'd much rather never have to have somebody pray for me for a cure to some kind of incurable venereal disease. You know, I'd rather not get out there and say, well, you know, I slept with 1,000 women in my life. I'd rather say, no, I ain't never slept with but two. You know, both of them were I was married to them. You know, so I'd much rather say that than say, well, yeah, I've slept with all these women, you know, but I got an incurable disease, but I had to be prayed for, and finally God forgave me and healed me. I don't want to have to go there, do you? I'd really rather walk holy in obedience to God's word, and nobody have to pray for me, hadn't you? That's where I'd rather live. I'd rather just walk in divine health and not have to pray for me or my wife or my children every time I turn around. So, but sin sure does cause plenty of problems. But he says, you have had enough in the past of the evil things that godly people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and their drunkenness and their wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they will slander you. Well, just get used to it and forget them. Throw them out the window. Tell them, don't hesitate to tell them why you're walking where you are, because your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Be a living example of Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need some real men in the world, is what I'm trying to say. We got too many wimps. We need some real men. Men that'll stand up for Jesus, that's not ashamed of Jesus. Verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, but remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. Now stop and think about what I just said. One day, everybody in this room, whether we're Christians or not Christians, one day we're going to stand before the King of the universe for judgment. What do you want him to say? And that's what I'd kind of like to hear too. Well done. I wouldn't like for him to come over and put his finger in my face and say, I'm sorry, Thurman, you're not going to get a single reward for nothing you ever done. How would you like for him to tell you that, huh? I don't want to hear that either. I guarantee I don't want to hear that. In fact, a couple years ago, or it may have been longer, I don't know, but we went down and visited with a Baptist preacher that did die in 1979. And then he was dead a whole day, and then the Lord brought him back to life. And we got to sit and talk to this guy all day long. And that's the thing he told me that stuck in my craw, that when he died and he showed up at the gate of heaven, the Lord told him, Howard, you can come in because of the blood of my son, but if you come in, you will get not one single reward. But Lord, I've been a Baptist preacher. He said, I know. I was with you every time you preached. He said, Lord, my wife and I raised 27 foster children for you. He said, oh, I've heard you brag about that all your life. You didn't raise them children for me. You raised them for yourself. He said, you didn't do nothing for me. How would you like to hear God tell you that? After you had been a preacher and done everything, and then you died and you stood in his presence and found out nothing you did stood the test. I don't want that to happen in my life, do you? Absolutely not. So, but remember that they will have to face God. Every man and woman, when you die, that's the first thing you will see is the King of the universe. Wow. Who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead, the lost and the saved. And then verse 6, it says, and this is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead, so although they were destined to die like all people, but now they live forever with God in the Spirit. These are talking about the people in the first group of people that lived and died before Jesus. Verse 7 and 8 here. Verse 7 and 8, we talk a little bit about the end of the world. He says the end of the world is coming soon. Now, he wrote this 2,000 years ago. He believed the end of the world was soon. But I will have to say, I know it's a whole lot closer than it was 2,000 years ago. And I believe the end is at the door. As those of you that have been here just recently when I preached on the King is coming, I believe with all my heart that we are, this possibly could be the beginning of the set of 7 years that is the beginning of the tribulation period. Now, wow, if it is, we're going to expect to see some kind of really bad war in the Middle East in the very near future. And since the last 2 or 3 weeks since ago when I preached that, it's getting hotter in the Middle East every day. And I think that war is going to burst out. Now, of course, I could not have been a good Israeli soldier the other day when the flotilla was attacked. I mean, that ship, the Palestinians brought 6 ships into the harbor, and they're attesting the Israeli people. I mean, you know, they don't want these weapons into Gaza. So they're bringing these ships into the harbor at Gaza, and the Israelis have out there, and they tell them, you cannot come in with those ships until they're checked. Because if you got weapons on them, we don't want them in there. Well, the flotilla wouldn't stop. So it just kept on coming. So, of course, they took their ships and their navy, and they stopped it, and then they were going to let men down a rope from a helicopter to examine it. Well, I watched the video of this thing. I could not have done what these Israeli soldiers done. They had a gun on them, but they went down a rope, and just as they hit the bottom, the first soldier hit the bottom, there was about 700 Palestinians on that ship. And those people begin to just flood out with pipes and clubs, baseball bats and everything, and begin to beat those Israeli soldiers. And the ones from up above is saying, don't shoot them, don't shoot them, don't shoot them. And I thought, that's what I got a gun for. That's what I'm a soldier for.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Receive a Crown of Glory and Honor, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.